The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Shmos, and we start a new Sefer Shmos. And we also start a whole new era of the Bnei Yisrael. It states, Ve'eli Shmos Bnei Yisrael Aboim Mitzroima. These are the names of the Bnei Yisrael which came to Egypt with Yaakov. Es Yaakov Ishu Vesa Bo'u. Yaakov and his entire household. Reuven Shimon Levi Behuda. Yisachar Zvulun Ubinyamin. Don Ve'Naftali God Ve'Osher. These were 11 sons. By he called Nefesh Yotze Yerech Yaakov Shivim Nefesh. The total of 70 came of his family, came to Egypt. And then the 12th son, Yosef, Hoyev Mitzroim. Yosef was in Egypt. By Yomash Yosef Bechol Echov, Yosef died, and all of his brothers, Bechol Adorahu, and the entire generation. Uvnei Yisrael poru vayishrutzu vayirbu vayatzmu bimeid meod vatimole oretz osam. And the children of Israel increased extremely rapidly, and the earth was filled up with them. Vayokom melech chodosh al Mitzrayim, and a new king rose up on Egypt, asher lo yada es Yosef. They didn't know Yosef. He didn't remember Yosef anymore. Vayomer el amai, hinei am b'nei Yisrael rav yotzu mimenu. He said to his nation that the b'nei Yisrael is getting more mightier and greater in number than we are. Hava nishak malei. We must have a plan. We must make a strategy. Penir bevayos ki sikreinu milchoma b'neisav gamhu al seinenu, lest there will be a war. B'neisav gamhu al seinenu, and then they will ally themselves. They will become allies to our enemies. B'nilcham bonu, and they will fight against us, ve'olo min oretz, and then we will have to leave the land. In other words, they'll take over. They're populating so quickly that we will lose the majority. We'll become a minority. And they will take over. And therefore, they started to make a strategy, a plan against them. They started to enslave them. Now, let's get a time frame as to when all of this is taking place. And also at the same time, just a very, very short, very brief overview to bring us up to date since the parshas that we left off on. In Parshas Vayeshev, the Torah tells us there, Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Megurei Aviv Beretz Kanaan. Yaakov in the previous Parshas, Vayetze in Vayishlach, in Vayetze, he fled from Esav, because Esav wanted to kill him, because he stole the brochas. He went to the house of Laban. That was the brother of his mother, Rivka. And there he was for 22 years. The Torah tells us that. He worked 7 years for seemingly Rachel, but Leah, and then another 7 years for Rachel, 14. And then another 6 years, the Torah says, for all of the sheep and so forth. And then another year in returning, or actually would come out 2 years. So he was there 22 years. And in Vayishlach is when he's coming back and he has his confrontation with Esav. And now in Vayeshev, Yaakov reaches home and he dwells in Eretz Canaan and Eretz Yisrael. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, Ben Shva Esrei Shono, Hayarei Esechov Batzon. His favorite son is Yosef, and Yosef was 17. And he was a shepherd. And Vayove Yosef as Dibosom Ro Elavihim. Yosef was bringing bad words, slander of his brothers to his father. And then we have the whole episode where Yosef has his dreams that he'll rule one day. Yaakov gives him the Ksonis Pasim, the special coat of many colors, which symbolize that he will be he's the firstborn, he will be the king. And eventually the brothers sell him. This takes place when Yosef was 17. The Torah tells us further that he is sold to Egypt and he works in the house of Potiphar. And the Chazal calculate that he was in the house of Potiphar for 1 year. Then there's the episode of Yosef and Potiphar's wife, and Yosef is thrown in the dungeon. In Parshas Miketz, it states, "Vayhi Miketz Shnosayim Yomim," after 2 years. But the sages explain that actually it was 10 years in the dungeon. One of the reasons given is because he slandered his 10 brothers. So he was 10 years in the dungeon. But then an extra 2 years because he put too much reliance into the butler to use his connections to get him free. So another 12 years had passed. Now, if we calculate that, he was 17 when he was sold. A year by Potiphar, 12 years in the dungeon, so that would make him 30. And that's what the Torah tells us. That further it states that Paro has his dream, and Yosef interprets it. And then, further in Parshas Miketz, it states, V'Yosef ben Shloshim Shona be'omda lifnei Pare melech Mitzroyim. That Yosef was 30 years old when he stood before Paro. So now, 13 years have passed, and Yosef is 30. The Torah then tells us that the 7 good years pass, and then Matichleno Sheva Shnehasova. And the 7 years end, and Vatchileno Sheva Shnearov, and the 2 famine years begin. Excuse me, the years of famine begin. 7 years passed of good years, another year of the famine, and then in the second year of the famine is when Yaakov's sons come down looking for food, and ultimately Yaakov comes down himself. This is another 9 years. So now Yosef would be 39. And he was 17 when he was sold. So that would be a period of 22 years he was separated from his father. 17 to 39. And the Chazal tell us those were the 22 years that Yaakov separated himself from his father Yitzchak when he went to the house of Laban. How long did Yaakov remain in Egypt? together with his family before he died. This brings us to Parshas Vayechi. In the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, it states, Vayechi Yaakov Beres Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shona. That Yaakov lived in Egypt for 17 years together with Yosef and his family. Now, how old was Yaakov when he came down to Egypt? Pare asked him that question, and he said he was 130, so that would make Yaakov 147. And that's what the Torah tells us. Yaakov was 147, and then he died. Now, if... How old would Yosef be then? Well, Yosef would be another 17 years. And we said he was what? He was 39. Yeah, so he would be 56 years old. Yosef was 56 when his father died. At the end of Parshas Vayechi, it states, Vayomash Yosef ben Mea Vesushonim. Yosef died at 110. So that would be 60, 40, 50, another 54 years, correct? Yosef lived another 54 years after Yaakov died. Yeah. Okay. Now, that's correct, right? Yeah. One? Yeah, Yaakov would...
91 when he had Yosef.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. Now, let's get an idea, though, of what we're saying now. It states that in our Parshas, Parshas Shemos, it says Yaakov came down with his entire family, and then Yosef died, and all of his brothers, an entire generation, and that's when the trouble started. So how many years of Menucha, of Shalva, how many good years did the Bnei Yisrael have since they came down to Egypt? So we said, one minute, I'm just calculating this. There would be the 17 years and then the 54 years. 17 years while Yaakov was alive. And then Yosef lived an additional 54 years. So that would be 71 years. So there were 71 good years. Although the Chazal say that already after Yaakov died things weren't 100%, but still 71 good years from the time that the Bnei Yisrael, the household of Yaakov, came down to Egypt. He came down to Egypt. And until Yosef died. Now, actually, they had a little more than that. Because it states that the Vayoka Melachodosh, the new king, rose up only after Yosef died, v'chol echo v'chol adorahu, and all of his brothers together. And the Chazal tell us in Parshas Va'era, it states in Parshas Va'era, Perek Vav Posik Tes Zayin, Lomon Nimno Shneisov Shel Levi, because there it states that Levi lived to 137 years. Why were his years counted and not the other brothers? To tell us that he, who had a Yomim Yesem Min Hakol, He lived longer than any of the other brothers, in order that we could calculate this. So if he lived 137, he lived how many more years than Yosef? 27 more years. So then we'd have to add on 27 years of Menucha. But Levi was a few years older than Yosef. And the Mefarshim say that Levi was 4 years older. I don't know if it was three or four. Let's say four. 4 years older. So we'd have to subtract that from the 27 years. It'd give us 23. And we said they had 71 good years till Yosef died, and now another 23, so they have 94 good years. So from the time that the Bnei Yisrael came into Egypt with Yaakov's household, there was almost a century. 94 years of good years until Vayokov Melech Chodosh, a new king, rose up, because at that time was Vayomos Yosef v'chol echov v'chol adoroho. Yosef died together with his brethren and the whole generation. All right. Now, we'll go one step further. If they have 94 years of good years, from the time that Yaakov came, this will get a time frame, from the time that Yaakov came down till the time that Moshe took the people out of Egypt, the Chazal tell us were a total of 210 years. A way to remember it is because Yaakov said to his sons, Redu Shoma, we'll go down there. And the numerical value of Redu is 210 years. They were to go down for 210. If they were to go down for 210 and the first 94 years were peaceful, so then this leaves a period of 116 years. This is what our Pasha deals with. Our Pasha deals with the 106, basically with the 116 years from the time of the death of Yosef and his brothers until the Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's our next number of parshas until the Exodus, until the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we're dealing with that period. So actually there were two periods then in Egypt. There were the first 94 years, and that was very good. Those were very good. And then the second period of 116 years, which were not good. And together they make up the 210 years. Okay, so that tells us where we're holding now. Now in these 210 years that, excuse me, in this 116 years that we're going to deal with, Miriam was born and Moshe was born. Aaron also. Miriam was the oldest. Aaron and Moshe. Now Moshe was 80 years old when he stood before Paro and he took Klal Yisrael out. So if he was 80 years old, then he was born after 36 years of this period. Is that correct? You see, this period from the time Yosef and his brothers died till the time we went out was 116 years. And Moshe lived in the last 80 years. So he was born 36 years from the time that our Pasha begins. 36 years later. And Miriam, the Medrash says, was 5 years older. Aaron was 3 years older. So that means that Miriam would have been born 31 years. That's right, 31 years. Now, then we can calculate something else. That from this era, this period of the time that the Torah tells us that Yosef and his entire generation died and a new king rose up, 31 years, and then the problem started. So it states that the first problem was Shibud. He made us serve him, slaves. From the time Miriam was born, it became inui, bitterness. And that's why she was called Miriam from the word Morah. So that would mean that the first 31 years was slavery, the next 85 years was Meriris, was bitterness. So this gives us a time frame of how we're speaking now. So again, Yaakov came down, from the time that Yaakov came down and to the time that we went out was a period of 210 years. So we'll divide that into two sections, the good years and the years of Shibud and Inui, the years that Parai and the Mitzrim subjected us to enslavement. The period of the good years was 94 years. And the period of Shibud, of Tzoris, was the last 116 years. And during that last 116 years, that's after the generation died, Yosef and his brothers, then not too long after that, Miriam would be born, Aaron would be born, and Moshe would be born. And that was, and then it would speak of the Parsha of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt. Now, states as follows. Vayokom in Posuches, Vayokom Melachodesh al Mitzroim, Ashelo Yoda Esh Yosef. Vayeme Alame, Hineam Bene Israel Rabbe Otsumimenu, a new king rose up. A new king rose up, and he didn't remember all the good that Yosef did for the Egyptians. He saved the entire country. And he said, we have to make a plan against Klal Yisrael. There were two reasons why he was very, very concerned. One reason is because it states, Uvnei Yisrael poru vayitzrusu vayirbu vayatzmu bimeid me'od. There's a tremendous amount of adverbs here. It states poru, they multiplied, vayishutsu, yishutsu means they multiplied exceedingly. Viyirbu, again they multiplied. Viyatsmu, they became exceedingly strong. Bimod, miod. Very, very much so. Vatimale haaretz osam. And the land filled up with them. Now the Torah doesn't use extra words. And here it's a whole sentence of extra words. So the Chazal say that it was derech nes. They were miraculously increasing. They were having 6 at a time, and some say 12 at a time, and some say even more. Miraculously they were increasing. So Paro became afraid. There was another reason why he became afraid. Because his astrologers were telling him that one day this nation is going to rise up and destroy you. So he became very concerned. He says, we have to make a plan against them. It states, Hova nishakmo lei. Let us, the simple sense is, let us make a plan against them. But grammatically it reads, let us make a plan against him. So the sages comment, my astrologers are telling me that there is going to rise up an individual that will lead this nation to destroy my nation and go out of Egypt, we have to make a plan against him. We must be mishakim keneged Mashiach shel Yisrael. His first plan, he had a number of plans. His first plan was, we will work them. And we will work them hard. And they will build store cities for us. So therefore, they will build Pison Ramses. Then, but that didn't help. The more they afflicted them, the more they grew. So then they went even further. Ve'avidu Mitzrayim is b'nei Yisrael b'forech. Increase the load. B'forech means an avoda that's m'parech es haguf. A type of work that breaks the body. Break their bodies, break their spirits. So he came with a second plan. Increase the load. And then, v'yimoreru es chayehem b'avoda kosha, they made our lives bitter. With bechomer ve'venim v'chol aveda b'asodeh. And b'forech. Then it became bitter. So that was further. But this still wasn't enough. His astrologer still told him, no, this is not helping. We still get the same signs. So therefore he came with another plan. Vayomer melech Mitzrayim lam yaldeso ibrios. He told the midwives, Shema achas shifra v'shema sheni spua. He called in the midwives. Now these two midwives, though, they must have been in charge of all the midwives, because here we're talking about people multiplying by the thousands. You couldn't just have two midwives. And these two midwives were Shifra and Pua, and this was really Yocheved, the mother, and Miriam. Yocheved was to become the mother of... She was the mother of Miriam, and she was yet to become, she would become the mother of Aaron and of Moshe. So they were in charge. He called them in, and he said, if it's a daughter, we don't have to worry. Because the astrologers are telling them that a man will rise up. But if it's a son, then kill him. At the time of childbirth, see that he does not have a successful birth. And on that, this was his plan, because he said, nothing else is working. So this will take care of the Mashiach Shel Yisrael, of their forthcoming leader. They feared Hashem, the midwives, and they didn't do as he said, as he instructed. And they gave life to the children. Here the sages comment that why is it necessary to say they didn't do as he said and they gave life to the children? If they didn't do as he said, so we know that they gave life to the children. So what does that mean? Now we see how far they went. This was the mighty king, Pare. Not only was he mighty, but he was the mightiest and wealthiest man in the world today without Yosef. Because Yosef had collected, the famine went through the entire world, and Yosef had collected all of the wealth of the world. And he had bought up almost all of Egypt. All of Egypt basically belonged to the king. As we saw in the last parsha. You see how brave they were. Not only they didn't do what he instructed to see that they do not have a successful birth, but they would bring water and they would bring mozain, they would bring panosa for the children, food for the children, and they took care of them. And the sages say, the Medrash says, that all of the mothers would take care of their children. And they would conceal them, and they would bring them food. So we see how determined Klal Yisrael were. They would not give up their children, even because of the king, the mighty king of Egypt. Then, a little further, it states, again, v'chashe yanu usoy, kein yirbe v'chein yifreitz. That the more they afflicted them, just as they afflicted them, they kept on multiplying. It states Yeah, but no, excuse me. In Chav Beis, Ve'etzav pare l'chol amay le'mor, kol ha'bein ha'yelod, ha'yeoret ha'shlichuhu. L'chol ha'bas te'chayun. Now what is this coming to tell us? He commanded his nation saying, every son that is born, throw him into the river. But the daughters, you may let live. This was another plan, a further plan. On that day, the sages say, Rashi brings, the Atztagninum, his astrologers, came to him and said, on this particular day is Neileid Mashiach Shel Yisrael. We have received the message, the signs, that this leader that is to take them out of your land and destroy you is being born. So now he said, every child you must kill. But how is this different than before? It states, L'chol Amoy, he said to his entire nation, even the Egyptians must kill their child. Because the astrologers came and said, we do not know clearly if he's going to be an Ivri or a Mitzri, a Hebrew or an Egyptian. And therefore, Pare said, and every child that's born on this day must be killed, every male child. Why couldn't they tell? So it says, oh, it said, it tells the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Elimeir Bloch would say, but this is also in the Maral. The reason why they couldn't tell is because Moshe was to be brought up by an Egyptian mother and be brought up in the palace of the king and carry the name from the Egyptian mother. So therefore the signals, they were getting mixed signals. The Torah tells us next, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi. A man from the house of Levi went and he took the daughter of the Levi. The Torah tells, the sages tell us that this was Amram and Yocheved. Amram was from the house of Levi. He actually was a grandson of Levi. He was Levi Kos and Amram. And Yocheved, though, was one generation closer to Levi. That was a daughter of Levi. Payikach is Bas Levi. Now, Vatari Isha Vatelet Bein. And she conceived and she had a son. And they saw that he was full of goodness. They say the house lit up and all kind of things. They could see the Shekhinah with him. And they concealed him as long as possible for 3 months. The sages ask here, what does it mean by Yikach his bas Levi? He went and took her. They were married for a long time. They already had Miriam. The fact is, it was miraculous that she conceived because she was not young. She was born as Yaakov and his family came into Egypt. And therefore she was 130 at this time. So why does it say he took her? They were married. So the Chazal tell us an interesting story. When they heard all of these decrees coming, they decided to become divorced from each other. Because they said, why should we have children only that they should be subjected to Paro's decrees of being put to death? But Miriam came and she said that Gzeiraschem kosher, Mixeris Pare, Michel Pare. Your decrees are more severe than Pare's decrees. Because Pare only decreed on the men, not on the women, on the boys. While your decree will prevent life from coming into the world both as a boy or a girl. And she convinced them to remarry. So that's why it states, Vayikach es bas Levi. He went and he took her again. From here we see what it means in Jewish life to have children. They didn't want to have children because of this reason. subject them to the decrees of Pare. And because they reunited with each other, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. You see the importance of this mitzvah. Then the Torah tells us a story that after 3 months they could no longer conceal him, and she put him in the brushes of the Nile River, and the daughter of Pare was coming to bathe, and she saw him, and it states, Vatiftach vatireu es hayeled. She opened up the basket, and she saw the child, and there was a child crying. Vatachmalolov. She had seen the basket in the distance. And she said, this is from the Ivrim. She could have come to the rationale that it must be, because why would anybody leave a child in a basket, floating in the brushes of the Nile River? But the Chazal say also, it says, she saw that he was nimol, he was circumcised. So she recognized this is from the Hebrews. And she became very compassionate towards the child. So she decided to take the child. And Miriam was standing at a distance to see what was happening. And Miriam came, and they tried. She tried to get a midwife for the child. But Moshe would take no milk from any of the midwives. Medrash states that Pesha Osid Ladaber Imashkina, the mouth that would speak with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, would not take milk from any Egyptian woman. She came along, Miriam, and she said, I'll get you someone from the Hebrews, and she brought her mother. Her mother took her, nursed Moshe until he no longer needed to be nursed by Yigdal HaYelet. That's usually in the time of the sages, Chov Daler Chadoshim, for 24 months. But Ve'ehu Levas Parai, and she brought him back now to the daughter of Parai, Vayilo Levain, and she took him as a son. Now the Chazal tell us that actually she risked her life for Moshe. Her maidservants told her that if you do not keep the decrees of your father, who do you expect to keep the decrees? And she risked her life. She could have been put to death. But she fell in love with this child. She wouldn't give him up. And she even adopted him, took him into the palace and took care of him. And she called, gave him a name Moshe, because he was drawn out from the waters. Moshe means to be drawn out. It's interesting that two things. Firstly, the sages say that Moshe had, this was not the name his parents gave him. His parents gave him a name of either Tov, as it states, they saw he was Tov, good, or Tovia. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I will not call him by any other name except by the name that the daughter of Parai gave him, Moshe. And always when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to call him, he called him Moshe. And the Medrash says, "Ru schoren shegem lechasodim." We see the great reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays to those who do chesed. Moshe had many names, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu would only call him by the name that the daughter of Parai gave. And later on, the daughter of Parai was to become a geyoris, convert. And she went out with Klal Yisrael 80 years later when they went out. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her a name, Bityo. which means the daughter of Hashem. He says, you name my son, I will give you a name. This is one interesting note. The second interesting note is that it seems she gave him a Hebrew name, because she gave him the name Moshe. That's the name he had, and Moshe is a Hebrew word. It's not an Egyptian word. Minamai Mishisihu. So it seems that she gave him a Hebrew name and not an Egyptian name. The story continues that Moshe went into the palace. He became a nobleman, a son of the king. And as he grew further in stature, I think the sages say he was 12 or 13, he went out to see what is happening to his nation. He knew about his nation, he knew about his people, and he wouldn't forget about them, and he would keep helping about them. We gave shurim on this in the past. I'm not going to go into that now. But I want to just dwell on some specific points. In Shmos Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, well, first it states that he came out and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. He went and he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. The next day he came out, Yud Gimel, Vayetze B'yem HaSheni, B'nei Shnei Anoshim Ivrim Nitzim, and he saw two Hebrews fighting. And he said, Rosha, why are you hitting your friend? This was Dosan Baviram. Dosan Baviram Biram were the two troublemakers all of the time. So they said, who made you a judge and a prince over us? Will you kill us like you killed the Egyptian? Now, no one knew that he killed the Egyptian. So how did they know? Someone must have seen and spread the word. Vayira Moshe vayomar. And Moshe feared and he said, Achein noda hadavar. He says, alas, it is known. The Chazal dwell on this. And the Maral in the Gevuras Hashem says, why? He says, the grammar is not correct. He should have said, Achein higid hadavar. That I see that someone spread this news, someone told someone what happened. But instead he said, Achein noda hadavar, now it is known to us. What does it mean, now it is known to us? So the sages say as follows. Noda li hadavar, shayisi tameyalav. Now it is known, it has become known to me what I could not understand before. Ma chotu Yisrael mikol shivim umais. Why is this nation being mistreated more than all of the other nations of the world? What did they do? Liyis nirdim liyis nirodim ba'avedes perach. Aval re'ani she'emruim lekach. But now I see what they did. Sheyesh lem dalturian. They have balei loshon hara. They have people that are magalas sod. That when they see something, and it's something you should not utter out of your lips, they go and they tell people, they tell others. They are balei loshon hara. And now I can understand the answer to my question. That's why it states, Achein noda hadavar, now it became known, it is known to me. The Maral in the Gevuras Hashem goes much deeper into this. But what he says very briefly is, Klal Yisrael, they have Madrega Elyona. They have an enormously high level. This came from Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, Yosef, and all of the Shvatim, and Rachel, and Sarah Rachel, Sarah Rivka Rachel, and Leah. This high level that they have, it's much higher than all of the other nations. And therefore, by rationale, it doesn't make sense that they should be made servants. They're mamleches kahanim, vegei kodosh, they are princes. They're nobility. How can they be servants to other nations which are much lower than them? And this was the Tamiya, this is what Moshe couldn't understand. This is the Zera, Abram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now this higher level, what it is that they are Mistabek, they cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The higher something goes, you will find, both in the spiritual world and in the physical world, the more concealed it becomes, the more ne'alam it becomes, and the more simple and primitive something is, the more nishgale, the more revealed it is. For example, if you take rocks, with the seemingly unimportant rocks, they're found all over. You want to find valuable rocks, you have to dig. You have to go deeper and deeper. You want silver, you want gold, you want platinum, you want diamonds, you want pearls, you have to dive deep into the sea. The same thing, a king in his palace, or a queen, where it states that it says, Basmela kol kfuda penima. They do not live in the outer chambers. The outer chambers are the entrance halls or the reception halls. They don't live there. They live in the inner chambers. And this is the same thing in the spiritual world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rides above the highest heavens, not in the lower heavens. And this is the same with Torah. If you want, when it comes to knowledge, the greater the wisdom, the deeper you have to dig. You want something which is simple, you take a magazine, you take a newspaper, which is here today and gone tomorrow. The biggest proof of it is you read the newspaper and then you throw it into the rubbish. And tomorrow another one comes. All of those stories and all of that print is gone to waste. But if you take something which is wisdom, but that's something that you have to probe, you have to work for, you have to labor. That's the wisdom of this world. The fact is, even the wisdom of this world, which is the comparatively simple world compared to the spiritual world, the best minds for thousands of years have been probing its secrets, and every day they come and they find new secrets, deeper and deeper. With the spiritual world is even further. The Torah, the further you probe, the more concealed, the greater is the wisdom. So the Klal Yisrael has the Maila where they are Mizdabek, they cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to this level. Lashon Hara is just the opposite of this. Lashon Hara is when you know something about someone, but you shouldn't say it. You know that this person did something he shouldn't have, and you're going to tell someone. Or you know that this person's father was in jail. Or you know about this person's past. Or you know about something that this person did, like Moshe went and killed the Egyptian. That is the level of the Golui. It's the level of something of revealing secrets. Something which should be secretive, nelam, and you're revealing it. That's just contrary. That's the antithesis to the level of Klal Yisrael. That's why Unfortunately, that's why Klal Yisrael unfortunately suffers from Loshon Hara, because it brings down their entire level. So Moshe couldn't understand why they should be enslaved. Why should this nation be enslaved by other nations, especially a nation as low as Egypt? Egypt was a very, very lowly nation, even though they were a nation of wisdom. But they were full of abominations. When the Torah tells us of the worst abominations, of idolatries, and shfichas domim, and incest, then it states, "Kemaisa eretz Mitzrayim lo sasa." You should not do these because these were the acts of Egypt. How can Klal Yisrael be enslaved by a nation like that? Now he says, now I understand. They fell totally from their level to this level. See, that's what he saw here. This is the level of tznius that the sages admire and always speak about. Like many times it'll say on something, lo tigale ela lesnuim. This is something that you should only tell a tsunua, someone who is dovak. He cleaves to a higher level where he'll know where to tell it and where not to tell it. All right, now we'll go a little further. Moshe, because of this, had to run away, because Pare, when he heard of this, he wanted to kill him. He was enraged. Actually, this was Pare's own adopted son, and he wanted to, or his own adopted grandson, and he wanted to kill him. So Moshe went, and he fled to the land of Midian. And there in the land of Midian, there was a great person, very, very great person, so great that the sages tell us that he was an idolater, but he had studied Kol Aveda Zorah Shebaolam. Every idolatry in the world he had studied. But he did not find satisfaction from any of them. And therefore he left it all. And he had 7 daughters, and Moshe came to the well. And there they were being abused by the shepherds. Why? Because Yisro didn't have a good reputation anymore. Because he became rebellious against their Aveda Zorah, their idolatry. So they chased away the daughters. Moshe stood up, by Yoshion, by Yashkes Sonom. And he chased them away. Moshe was a gibor, he was very strong. And he saved the girls, and he gave water to the sheep. But Tavonu el Ruel Avihan, Vayome Maaduam Yaten Beayom. And they came to Ruel, and to their father. He was also known as Ruel. He was known as Ruel because Rea Kael. He was a friend to Hashem. And the father asked, "Why are you back so early today?" There's 2 interpretations in this. The simple interpretation, they came back so fast, is because Moshe helped them with the sheep, and they didn't have to run away and then come back and so forth. But there's a deeper explanation. Because when Moshe came to the well, the water came out by itself. This was a quality that we find with Yaakov. Actually, Yaakov gave this bracha to Pare. That ended the famine. This was a quality that we found by Rivka. This was a quality that we found by Yitzchak and so on. So the waters came out to meet Moshe, so therefore he could give the sheep to drink much quicker. So they told this to Yisro. So Yisro said, "Batomana." They said, "Ish Mitzri hitzelonu miyad roim." The gamdolei dolonu veyashkesatzon vayomer al benayse veayo. Yisro said, "Well, where is he? Lama ze azavten as ish kia en leibe yechalochem. Where is he? Why did you leave him there? Call him. And I will give him lechem. I will give him to eat." The sages say that Yisro had something in mind. Maybe he will marry one of you. Now here's a question. A stranger shows up. Fact is, they thought he was a Mitzri. This is another land. All right, good. He helped out the young girls. But just because of that, you want to make a shidduch. You have to investigate. You have to know. You can't take anyone off the street and say this is a good match for your daughter. So the Chazal say as follows. Be'ayo. This word is a strange word. And we do find it in another place in the Torah. When the Malachim, the angels came to tell Abraham that in a year Sarah will have a child, they asked, Aye Sarah, where is Sarah? They used the same word, Aye. And what was the answer? Sarah was in the tent. She was at Sanua. She was a very, very modest person, low profile. She was in the tent. But the Malachim knew that. But they wanted to praise her in the eyes of Abraham. So they were bringing out her modesty. Yisro was saying, this person must be a very, very modest person. Because Yisro was a very, very famous person and a wealthy person. He was called Kohen Midyon, which means he was like a prince. And he just saved the seven daughters of the prince from being abused and beaten up. So anyone would make a big deal out of that. He would come and he would tell the nobleman what I did for you and in hopes for some reward. And here, Moshe didn't even come. Yisro wasn't used to this. He says, this doesn't sound right. And then when they told Yisro that the waters came up to meet him, he said, this must be from the seed of Abraham. Because they had that quality. And he put the two together. He says, this sounds like the Zera of Sora, the seed of Sora. Ayo, the one that said, Ayo, where is she? She was in the tent. So he said, go get him quickly. This will be a very, very good zivug, a very good shidduch. They went and they, and Kiran Leiva Yochal Lochem, and I will give him to eat. So they went. And it states, Vayol Meshel Hashevis Asish, Moshe came, he ate. And then after Yisro spoke to him for a while and checked them all out then, he gave him the offer of his daughter, Vayitein Tzipora Vita LaMoshe. And he gave to Moshe Tzipora, the daughter. Actually, Tzipora was the one that ran back the fastest to bring him. And the Chazal say that that's why she was called Tzipora. She went back as quick as a bird to bring Moshe. And that showed that she was the one. Now, is a very, very good lesson that we can learn from here. The Chazal say as follows. This shidduch was probably the best deal that Yisro ever made in his life. Because through this, Yisro was going to become Chasan HaMelech. The father-in-law of the king. Moshe was to become the king of Israel. And when Yisro later on came to bring back Moshe's children to him and his wife, it states that Moshe went out to meet him. The king went out to meet him. And Aaron and the entire court of Moshe, 70 Zakenim, went out. And anyone who saw this followed them. And later on, he was Megayer. And his children became members of the great court of the Sanhedrin. So this was the best deal that he could have ever made. What caused this? Vayochal Lochem. Hachnosas Orchim. He says, bring him back. Tell him we want to invite him in. Give him lunch. Give him supper. Had he not done this, So then he wouldn't have had the opportunity. He wouldn't have led to this. On the other hand, the Chazal say that now Yisrael was very far from Klal Yisrael because he belonged to Midian. Midian was an arch enemy of Yisrael. Later on we find out. On the other hand, there were two nations, Ammon and Moab, that by nature were very close to Yisrael, because Ammon and Moab were the children of Lot. And Lot was the nephew, Lot and his daughters, and Lot was the nephew of Abraham. And Ammon and Moab were distanced by Hashem more than any other nation. Ador Asiri. He says, I never want him to come into Klal Yisrael, to marry into the central community of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because when Klal Yisrael was coming through the desert and they wanted to come through your land, you should have come out and instead of making such a big rash, a big noise, and you said that don't they dare come through your land, otherwise we'll make war with you, you should have come out and offered them lechem u'mayim, bread and water at least. So it's here we see that what bread and water does. Yisrael then offered it. He became part of Klal Yisrael and all of the good fortune that followed. And he was far away. And Ammon and Moab that were so close to Yisrael, they became distance forever because they didn't offer it. The modern Sanhedrin says, Godol gedola legima. How great it is when you give someone panoso, achnosis orkin. By Yoel Moshe Loshevis Esoish, and Moshe, what does it mean by Yoel? The simple sense means he agreed to stay with him. And then he gave him his daughter. But also it means, Rashi brings, he made a shvua. He swore that he would not leave his house without his permission. So there are two interpretations. Now, after the burning bush, because after this he stayed a long time in the house of Yisrael, many, many years, he was taking the sheep into the wilderness, and that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him at the burning bush and told him he must go to Egypt and deal with Parai and the Egyptians and to take my people out. After the whole episode where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that you are going to do the most important thing in the whole world, you're going to free Klal Yisrael, destroy Egypt, bring Israel to Har Sinai and give them the Torah. Then the Torah tells us in Shishi, that's Perek Dalet, Poshuk Yud Ches, after all of this, Vayilek Moshe v'Yoshev al Yesech Esnei, Moshe went and returned to Yesech Osno. Vayomer lei Elcho no v'Yashuv el Achai Asher b'Mitzrayim v'Ere Ha'odem Chayim, I am going back to go to see my brethren in Egypt to see if they are all well and living. Vayom Yisrael leMoshe lech leShalom. And Yisrael said to Moshe, go in peace. Why does the Torah have to tell us this? I mean, if he's going back to pack up, that we know he has to go back to pack up. And he took his wife and he took his daughter and he took his son. So we know that. Like it states that Vayikach Moshe Sishtei Bezbonov, he took his wife, he took his son. So his sons, so we know that. So what does it have to tell us that he went back? He told Yisrael he wants to go back. This is taken for granted. And Yisrael told him, Lech Lesholem, go in peace. So according to the interpretation that by Yoel meant he swore, he had to go back, that's what Rashi brings, to be released from the oath. Because he had sworn to Yisrael that he'll never leave his house, or take his children or his wife, without his permission. Okay, so it says he went back and got his permission. We could have said that maybe in such a case he didn't need it, because he was going on the most important shlichus in the world. What do we need his permission for? No, that you need. But according to the simple's meaning, that he never swore to Yisro. So what did he go back for? So here again we have a great Dvar Musa. The Medrash tells us in the Medrash in Parsha Dalet, Os Beis, he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I cannot go to Egypt and do what you want me to do. Omalei Ribbeinu Elam Eini Yochel, I can't. Mipnei Shekiblani Yisrael Uposak Li Beisoi Vani Imai Keben Umishu Peseach Pischoi Lechaverei Nafshei Chayev Lei. He says, how can I desert Yisrael? Yisrael opened up his house to me. I was a fugitive. He took me in. Now you want me to walk out on him? He's an old man now. I should go take my wife, which is his daughter, and I should take the grandchildren and just leave. I can't. Now, when we start to think of this, look, the argument is an argument. A person can't walk out on someone. Especially as an old man now, Yisro. Actually, Moshe was there a long time because when he went out of Egypt after killing the Egyptian, the sages say it states Vayigdal, he was 12 or 13 years old. When he comes back, he's 80. So it was a tremendous amount of time that passed. In fact, this is all kind of different opinion as to what took place during all of this time. So Yisro was an old man. Okay, so he put forth a good argument, but we have to look at the other side. I'm not sending you there on a holiday, Kodesh Baruch Hu said. I'm not telling you to go to Mshlanga or to Plet. Yeah, I'm not even sending you on a tour to Israel. I'm sending you to do the greatest thing that the world will ever know. Your people are enslaved in Egypt. And how many years did we say? We made our calculation. You know, how many years was it? 100 and what? 16 years. They're enslaved, they're suffering, they're dying. And I want you to go free them. You tell them, I mean, man, we're talking about it's wartime. I want you to go free them and take all of these people to Har Sinai, where I will give them the Torah and make them my nation, and from there to go to Eretz Israel and conquer Israel. So we weren't playing games here. And now you tell me you can't walk out on Israel. He says, I can't go. Ribbeinu Elam, Eini Yochel, I cannot go. Mipnei Shekiblani Yisrael, Yisrael opened his door to me, Posach Li Beisoi, Vani Imai Keben, and I'm like a son to him. And someone who opens up his door to someone else, nafshei chayev lo, he's obligated to him with his life. So he says, I can't go, he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, You're right. Go back and ask him for permission. You're not allowed to go without his permission. Go back and ask him permission. Eini hailech ele b'shusay. Lekach siv. That's why the Torah writes here. Vayoshev, what does it say? Vayilech Moshe, vayoshev el Yeser Chosno. Moshe went back to Yeser, to Yisrael, his father-in-law. Vayom Elon, he said, I must go back to Egypt, to see if they're all living and well. Maybe he told them everything that Hashem told them, I don't know. But he explained the situation. Vayomer Yisro l'Moshe, lech l'shalom. Yisro said, go in peace. Therefore, Moshe was able to go. Now, from here we see the enormous obligation on a person of HaKodesh HaTov, of appreciation. Today we dismiss it as nothing. But the enormous debt a person has to someone else that did something good for him. That's what we see from here. One final point. When Hashem was speaking to Moshe at the burning bush, he said, well, incidentally, I have to insert something here which should have been inserted before. When we said that Vayetzav Pare l'chol amoy, Pare commanded his whole nation, kol habein ayelod layorot tashlichuhu, every child that's born, you shall throw him into the river. And we asked, why? And we said, because that day, or the day before, his astrologers told him that we see that the Mashiach shall Yisrael is being born, the Melech HaMashiach is being born, and we don't know if he's from Egypt or from the Hebrews. But why did he decree it should be thrown into the river? They advised him this. Because they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only revenges a wrong in the same manner it was done. So if you'll kill him any other way, he can kill you. But if you'll kill him with water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be helpless. He won't be able to kill you with water. Or kill us, the people. Because he's already promised that he will not bring a flood to the world again. So if he holds Egypt guilty of killing his Moshiach, there'll be nothing he can do if we drown him. That was their plan. Because I'll say they didn't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said that he won't drown anyone. He said he wouldn't bring a flood to the world. But other floods he can bring. Anyway, that was their plan. Now, when Hashem was speaking at the burning bush to Moshe, he said, this is what you should do. It could have been after the burning bush. Perek Dalet Posachov Beis, he said, go back to Egypt, go to Pare, tell him, B'ni Becheri Yisrael, my son, Klal Yisrael is my firstborn son, Shalach es B'ni, Bayavdeini, send them out so they may serve me, but 1 minute. Here it is in Shmos Gimel, by the burning bush, Yud Ches. Pare told Moshe, go and tell Klal Yisrael that I have spoken to you. They will believe you, and then go to Pare and tell him, Elakeo Ivrim Nikor Aleinu, Hashem has come to us, Vaton Nelcho Naderek Shleishish Yomim Bamidbar, and now let us go 3 day journey into the desert, Benizbachol Hashem Elakeinu, that we might serve sacrifices to Hashem. question it, and this was done consistently. He kept coming to Parai, telling him, you must let us go 3 days into the desert so that we can serve Hashem. The question is, this is a question we had for a long time. Why is Hashem telling Moshe to tell Parai, send us 3 days into the desert? That wasn't the plan. The plan was to send them out totally free. So why 3 days into the desert? Now, by a boss of Adam, when we're talking about earthly beings, that could be a decoy. You know, if we ask him to set us free, he won't set us free, so we'll ask him for 3 days, and once we get out, we'll run. Okay. But by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So why does he keep telling him, tell Pare that you must send us out, and then later on Paro starts to negotiate with him. If you want to go 3 days in the desert for sacrifices, so you'll need the men. What do you need the women for? What do you need the children for? What do you need the animals for? And so forth and so on. We had this question for a long time. But then recently we found the Medrash speaks about it. The Medrash is in Perek Gimel Yud Beis. And the Medrash says as follows. Lama amru shleishish yomim v'le amru neilchan oleilam. What did Hashem tell Moshe to tell Pare, let us go for 3 days? He should have said, let us go entirely. Lama amru kein, kidei sheyitu amitzrim v'yirdifu achareyam. V'shoshi yotzu v'yimru l'golem el almanah shilchu gimel yomim v'yizbuchalei v'heim ikvu atzman kolkach. Because Hashem was making a decoy, but not a decoy to get them out. Then he could get them out easy. He said, tell Parai that you're going for 3 days. See, I force Parai to free you entirely, so then I'll put enough pressure on him where he has to free you entirely, but then all of Egypt will remain in their place. That's not good enough. Tell Parai that you want to go free for 3 days. And then, after 3 days are up, when he sees you're not returning, then he will get very, very angry, and he'll bring his soldiers to chase you. And that way I can draw him into the sea. And then I can destroy all the Pare and his armies in Egypt in the sea. And give them the same as they wanted to give to you and the other children of Israel, to destroy them in the waters. Otherwise, he'll remain and you'll go, and I won't be able to destroy him in the waters. Lama amru ken kidei sheyitu amitzrim v'yirdifu achareihem. He wanted to set up a situation where Paro and his armies will have to chase them. Well, they'll say, we only let them go for 3 days, and now they're staying longer, they're running away. And after 3 days, they'll chase you. And then I can sink them all in the sea. In order that I should dish out to them exactly what they wanted to dish out to others, because that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu always takes his revenge. Not only his revenge, but his reward is also that way. This gives us firstly a time frame in which what all of these parshas are going to be taking place now. They're all going to be taking place in this last 80 years from the 210 years that Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim until they go out. And this is a number of notes on this sedra.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.